Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Come on, we can do better than that. God's been good to us. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. It's a beautiful thing to be in love with Jesus. It's even more beautiful to know that he's in love with us. Amen. Yes, he is. It's an honor to be here, and I appreciate everything that Apostle said. And so thank you. But I always count it a honor and a privilege to share the word of the Lord, especially here. That was for you? This juice? Oh, okay, cool. All right. Thank you. Especially here, as he said, you know, the ministry it started in our home. And, you know, I don't even really think back at the times when we were loading up equipment to go down to school that was down the street from the home. But when he said it, I kind of thought to myself, I was a freshman. I think I was like 14 or 15. And David was a year younger than me. But when he said it, it just made me think, wow, you know, God was preparing us. And it never really dawned on me until he mentioned it. Now that I'm older, I don't know too many 14 or 15-year-olds that would have willingly done that. But we did, and I just think it was a grace that was on us. And so I thank God for his grace, his drawing, his calling, not just for myself but for our family. I thank God for this ministry and all of the hands and the feet that have joined together to do this this special work. All of you have a special place in my heart because without you, you can't really confirm what God has put in you unless there are those who can rally around you and show that support. So all of you being sensitive to the Spirit of God and just the vision. And so we thank God for you. Just want to honor Apostle, my father, my mother. My grandmother, who's in the back there as well, my beautiful wife, who's taking our youngest out right now, Lanaya, my daughters as well. You know, I have three daughters, Lydia, Layla, and Lanaya. And so I thank God for them. I want to get to the word real quick. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We'll pick up at verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When you have it, say, I have it. All right. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Then they said to him, "We have here only five loaves and two fish." He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude, so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. I'll run back up to verse 15 where we'll pull our subject for this morning. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." I want to pull our subject or our thought for this morning from the idea it's not too late. It's not too late. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're already here. Your expectation is in the house, God, and we just are excited about what you have to say, God. We will respond to your word. We will not be hearers, but also doers, that you might get glory out of our lives. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody shout, it's not too late.
Not too late.
Hallelujah. I believe when we come into the kingdom, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's very important that we begin to desire to walk in wisdom. And wisdom can come to us in many ways. Typically, wisdom we receive through general study. And it's important that the believer have a relationship with the Word of God. And wisdom will come to us through our study time. We may then extend our study time and add what's known to be commentaries to our study time. Various study guides, we may get into small groups and begin to receive wisdom from other individuals who have been in the presence of God as well. And so there is a wisdom that comes to us just from the general study of the Word of God. And that cannot be overlooked. Then there is wisdom that we also receive when we walk with God, not just study the Word of God. Sometimes we can get into a place to where we're just reading and we're just studying, but we're not experiencing or walking with God. And so there is the experience that is coupled with what is the knowledge of God that then leads to us walking in wisdom. Then there is also wisdom that God has given us, blessed us with, what could be considered to be universal wisdom, or wisdom that God has just given to man. And sometimes we will find that that wisdom likes to get in the way of God. We can study and we can walk with God, but then there is man's wisdom that oftentimes wants to dictate which direction God should be going in, the way that God should move. And so sometimes we just inadvertently get in the way. And we saw that with the children of Israel who God delivered from bondage and had many, many wonderful plans to bless them, to bring them into a promised land, to be with them all the days of their life. But for some reason, they looked at the culture and they saw that the culture around them was totally different. They forgot who they were in God and they decided that they wanted a king. Out of man's wisdom, they decided that we want to be like everybody else. We want to look like everybody else. We want to talk like everybody else. Sometimes man's wisdom will get in the way of God. We also saw that with King Solomon. It's interesting because Solomon was blessed with wisdom. But when you look at the duration of Solomon's life, Solomon at some point decided to move away from the wisdom of God. And he began to draw on his own wisdom and the wisdom of man. And he started marrying women that he should not have been marrying. And he began to get into other relationships that he should not have gotten in. People of God, what we must understand is that God's wisdom is full intelligence and skill. It's not some wisdom. It is all wisdom. And so God can look at a situation and his perspective will be totally different than ours because God is wisdom. And so God will stand in the middle of a garden that is not completed and say it's good. It's interesting that God can look at a circumstance and God will say that the thing is good when we're saying, no, this ain't looking too good. But God is full intelligence and skill. I wonder if anybody knows that God is wisdom. God will look at your life, and as you're looking at it and scratching your head, God is whispering in your ear, no, 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 everything is working together for your good. Man's wisdom will look at his own situation and begin to say, I don't know, God, how this is going to work out. And you're looking at your relationship with your parents, and God is looking at the relationship with your parents and say, no, that relationship is working together for your good. You might be on your job and you're looking at your job and you're wondering through your wisdom and understanding how the thing is going to turn out, and God is saying, no, it is working for your good. There's something that God knows about our life. There's something about God that knows about our course and direction that he wants to take us that we just don't know. And I credit it to the wisdom of God. Paul writes in Corinthians, he says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things of the world considered foolish in order to shame those things that are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united us with Christ Jesus for our benefit. God made him to be wisdom itself. And so God, the scripture says, he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. People are looking at you and wondering why God may have chose you when they know your background. They know the family that you came out of. They know the education that you have or don't have. They know many things about you, but God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. And so God or Jesus will just be walking on the Sea of Galilee or the shore, and he'll see fishermen and say, I need you to come with me. Jesus will take people that don't look like they should be used by him. Jesus will take people that will act like they shouldn't be used by him and will fix them up and then present them in front of the folk that used to talk about them. Jesus took fishermen that would change the world, so much so the anointing that was on their life touched so many different pockets of people. There came a time when they presented Paul and Silas in front of men and they said, these are the men that turn the world upside down. I come to tell you this morning, there's something that God knows about your situation. There's something that God knows about the DNA that he set on the inside of you. There's something that God knows about the plan and the course for your life that you may not be able to comprehend, but it is the wisdom of God. The scripture says here that Christ became our benefit. Somebody's got to learn to use their benefit. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine at one point, and he was explaining to me that they got over 50 staff members at their church, and the church pays for their benefits. And he said, we pay over $500,000 for benefits, for health insurance. And he was upset because he said, we're paying all this money, but then we get the reports, and it comes down to the end of the year, and we're finding that our employees are not using the benefits that we already paid for. I don't think y'all caught me. There's benefits that we have because we are united with Christ Jesus. There's access to wisdom that we have in him. And some of us got to learn to use that benefit and begin to trust God with our situation. Everything God does is wise and perfect. Everything God does is wise and it's perfect. What God does cannot be done better. I'll put it to you like this. My wife uses an app. I don't know the name of the app, but she likes to decorate. And so there's this app that she has to where they'll put a room in front of you and you can spend a few dollars to buy different decorations that you can put in that room. And so she'll get her iPad out and she'll begin to decorate a room. So let's say there was a picture of this sanctuary. She would be able to decorate what that sanctuary looked like. And then there's other people online that can vote to determine what your skills are like or how nice the picture is that you painted. What will happen is sometimes she'll hand the iPad to me and say, baby, what do you think here? Do you think I should change the chair and make it this color or not? Or should I remove those drapes, or should I put a different chandelier on this table here? And sometimes I'll say, yeah, you need to remove that and put this here because this matches a little better. Y'all know I got a little style, right? So she'll come to me and she'll ask me, and I'll say, no, you don't need to change that. That looks great. And so every now and then she'll present it to me, and in my wisdom or in what I see, I can tell her, okay, you need to change this. That's going to help you get a better score. Now, let's say Jesus had the iPad, and Jesus was actually painting the picture, and Jesus was actually orchestrating what was going to be on that iPad. If Jesus put that thing in front of me in all intelligence and in all skill and said, son, what do you think? It didn't matter how long I would ponder. It wouldn't matter how long I would think about that situation. It wouldn't matter how long I looked at the drapes or the chandeliers. There would be nothing that would come to my mind that I could say, Jesus, in your wisdom, I see what you did, but I'm thinking about something a little better. Y'all got to hear me now. There's nothing you can think of that's better than the plan God has for your life. There's nothing that you can conjure up in your mind that can outwork the wisdom of God. And so it never needs to change. And whatever God has put in front of you, you've got to understand that he's wise enough to know the steps that you need to take. He knows what we need to know, and he's wise enough to know what we don't need to know. Bump your neighbor and say, it's levels to the wisdom here. It's levels. The challenge that we find now, the challenge that we find, saints, is that we all grow up. The challenge that we find is that we all grow up and we become adults in the world. But as kingdom citizens, God always looks at us as children. I wonder if you see the picture. See, in my house, like I said, I got three girls. My daughters can't just do what they want to do. No. And they can't just talk any way they want to talk. The problem is that we grow old and we become adults. And in this world that we live in, we begin to think that we can just make any old kind of decision anytime we want to make a decision. But God says, no. You're still a child in my eyes. You're not a baby, but I see you as my child. And the child always needs permission. The child is always seeking wisdom. The child is always seeking understanding. The child is always trying to grow away from us that are trying to grow up and think we don't need God and think that we can walk in our own wisdom and think that we can set our own course. We all need the wisdom of God. And the problem is that we grow up and we get old and we think just because we become 18 and 21 and 30 and 35 that we can walk on our own. That's one problem there. The other problem that we find here is that we simply don't apply the wisdom that we have. There was a time when people was walking around with bracelets that had on WWJD, which simply mean, what would Jesus do? Which is an interesting question, but wisdom needs to be applied. I don't need to know exactly what he would do and stop there. I need to do what Jesus did. And so sometimes we can have all the books and we can have all the material and we can spend all the time in the prayer closet. But when it comes time to applying that wisdom, we're not applying that wisdom. And so you look at your life in 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years down the road, nothing's changed. But God's shown you things in advance. God's placed wisdom in your spirit, but you don't access it, nor do you apply it. The last thing here that we notice is that we profess to be wise because we want to feel like we figured out God. Y'all don't want to say nothing to me this morning, but each and every one of you know somebody that always knows what God's thinking, that always knows what God's saying, that always knows what God is doing, and they're always discerning something. They always got a fervor and a desire to speak something. You got to watch those folk that always know what God is doing in every season, in every circumstance. No. There's times in my life where I had no idea what God was doing, and I had to trust the wisdom of God to say, Lord, you got to explain this. I can't understand it. I've been praying. I've been believing. I've been trusting you, but I need you to make some sense of this. There's going to be times in your life where you just got to fall back and say, Lord, I need more wisdom. But the question that we must ask ourselves, saints, is our whole life, is our entire life dependent on the wisdom of God? That's the question that we must ask ourselves. Is our whole life dependent upon the wisdom of God? And some of you would say, well, he gave us a brain to think, and he did. But there's a reason Paul said we should have the mind of Christ. And so, as we get to our text here, man's wisdom has concluded the situation. And I'm talking to somebody this morning. And the disciples are looking at where they're at. And the text says, when it arrived evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place. And the hour is already late. Send the problem away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. It baffles me that man would think, that have the audacity to tell Christ what to do. Sometimes we get a little too wise for ourselves. Lord, you need to do it this way. It ain't looking right. It's strange to me if anybody would know the direction that man would go. If anybody would have a grip on life, would anybody would know the seasons and the times that God moves in, it would be Christ. Jesus wasn't concerned with the place that he was in, because when you look at the text and that which preceded it, it was just life that led him to a deserted place. Ah, help me, Holy Ghost. When you look at the previous text, you got to understand that Jesus had just been rejected by his family members. They came out of the village and said, who is this man? How does he got all this power? And how is he doing all these miracles? Ain't that Mary's son? Isn't that the carpenter's son? And the scripture says that they were offended by him. And then Jesus finds out that his cousin had just been beheaded. The only one that had walked the earth, that actually believed in him, had just been murdered. And so it's funny how life will take you to some weird places. And so the scripture says when he heard this, he went to a deserted place all by himself. I wonder if you've been in some seasons in your life where life just took you to some weird places, where life just led you to some funny places. Don't get it twisted now. He is God, but he was 100% man. And so Jesus is hurting now. Jesus is having to deal with his emotions. And so life took him to a deserted place. It's funny now how life will move you to some places. I don't know if you've ever been in a broke place. I don't know if you've ever been in a frustrated place. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you've been scared. I don't know if you've ever been in an insecure place. I don't know if you've ever been in a hurt place. I don't know if you've ever been in a discouraged place. But Jesus finds himself in that place. And I'm looking, you look at the text, though, you realize he did not stop the place that he was in to stop the power of God and the move of God flowing through him. I've come to tell somebody this morning, it don't matter what place you find yourself in, Jesus still stood up and still allowed the Holy Spirit to work through him. He still touched folk and he still healed. And so I've stopped by this morning to let you know God can still use you right in the place that you're in. I know you don't like the job that you're at right now. I know you may be frustrated with how your family members have been acting. I know you don't like the situation and the season that you might find yourself in. But wherever the wisdom of God is, God can move, God can move, God can move. Touch your neighbor and say, it's not too late. It's not too late. I guarantee you right now, and I've said it to this body before, if God start blessing you real good right here in the city of Cincinnati, if God start blessing you real good right there on your job, if God brought that man into your life right here, right now in the situation that
you're in, if God brought that woman into your life right now, right in that situation that you're in, you wouldn't be looking around at the place that you're in. You'd be thanking God that he moved in spite of. And I wish I had some people in here that knew that God could move in spite of what you feel like, in spite of what's going on, in spite of what you see, in spite of what you feel, in spite of your emotional baggage, God can still move in that place. Yeah. And so they're looking at the place and they're saying, Jesus, this ain't gonna work out. Yeah. And so they're in the place and they're saying, Jesus, it's getting too late. And Jesus says, no. It's not too late. The problem with us, and when we work in our own wisdom, when we move in our own wisdom, oftentimes we feel like we're running late. I've come to talk to somebody that feels like things are late in your life. You've been trusting God for a minute, and you feel like time is passing you by. You got some faith, but you still got a little faith that's wavering. You believe here, but you're saying, God, I need you to help me with my unbelief. They assume that they're late. I don't know if you've ever been late going somewhere, but typically when you're late and you're trying to get somewhere, you start rushing. I don't know if you've been late trying to get somewhere, but once you start rushing, typically you'll forget something. I don't know if you ever left your home rushing and you thought you were behind, but as soon as you got on the highway and began to drive north, or as soon as you got on the highway and you begin to drive south, all of the sudden you saw brake lights in front of you and you looked at the traffic and you were trying to determine what was going on, but then 5-10 minutes down the road, as you passed by the paramedics and you passed by the car that had flipped over and you passed by all of the family members on their cell phones calling loved ones, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, if it would have been in your time, if it would have been in your time, that would have been you on the side of the road. I come to minister to somebody this morning and tell you that it's not too late. And what God has promised you is on the way. There's wisdom that's coming to you. There's some wisdom from God that's coming to you that's going to get you out of your situation. God can still make a work a miracle in your life. Touch your neighbor and say, God can still work a miracle in your life. And so they determined that the place that they was in was deserted. They determined that the time was too late, and they determined that they did not have enough resources to do what God had called them to do. And so the text says, Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Watch this now. And so they're looking around and they see the 5 loaves and they're looking at the 2 fish and they're scratching their head and they're saying, Jesus told us to go feed this multitude. And they're looking at the multitude and they're looking at the loaves and they're looking at the fish. But Jesus said, no, you go give them something to eat. They said, Jesus, all we got is 5 loaves and all we got is 2 fish. And Jesus does something miraculous here. He says, bring them to me. I wish I had some folk that could see this in the Spirit now. Jesus says, bring your problem to me now. What is he saying here? The scripture helps it to make us clear that Jesus is the fullness of God. Yeah. And the scripture makes it clear that all wisdom became Christ Jesus. And so what Jesus is saying to the disciples and what Jesus is saying to us this morning is that bring your problem to me. In other words, he's saying bring your problem to wisdom. I wish I had some old school faith in here that would know if you can just get your problem in the presence of Jesus. If you can just hand it over to Jesus. If you can just give it to the Lord. We live in a world that's relational. And I thank God that he set it up like that. But sometimes you got to work around too many variables. You got to go to another man to get the car fixed. You got to go to a man and through a man to get a job. You got to go to a man and through a man to set up a doctor's appointment. appointment. You got to work through a man to get the school set up, and you're dealing with politics, and you're dealing with people if they like you, if they don't like you, and you got to deal with attitudes and moods and all types of stuff that folk deal with. But Jesus says, no. We're going to bypass man this time. I'm about to do something supernatural in your life. There's some wisdom I'm about to drop on you. Just bring that matter to me. I wish I had some old school faith in here that would say, no, I got to bypass mama. I got to bypass grandma. I got to bypass auntie and everything they've been saying. I got to bring my matter to Jesus. And when I put it in the hands of Jesus, he can work my situation out. I've come to tell somebody this morning that your problem is not your place. Your problem is not the time. Your problem is not your resource. The problem is that you just need to place your issue in the hands of wisdom. You can't work it out on your own. God ain't going to allow you to solve this one. All you got to do is say, God, I need more wisdom. I need some manifold wisdom. You help me on that last issue. Lord, help me on this issue. I need you to teach me. I need you to correct me. I need you to instruct me, because the wisdom that I'm walking in right now is not going to get me out of my situation. Put your hands together and give God a praise. If you know that you know that you need a little more wisdom, if you know that you know that God can work on your behalf this morning. It's not a problem with the place that you're in. It's not a problem with the timing of your life. We're looking at the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus says, bring it to wisdom. And he calls them unto him. Scripture says, and I'm closing now, that they brought it to him. Says that he blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it to his disciples. Saints of God, I know we want the blessing. But are we willing to allow God to break us? I know it hurts the sound of our ears to hear that. But when you look at this text, you understand that in the breaking of the bread, he was actually fixing their problem. Can you just lift your hands and say, Lord, have your way? Simple instructions. I didn't preach long because I know the Lord wants to move in this place. And God told me this morning to give you some simple instructions. I want you to grab a writing utensil and something you can write on. And the Spirit of the Lord told me to have you write down whatever it is that's in your life that you feel is late. And come bring it to this altar. Some of us been believing for a while. Trusting God for some stuff. For some loved ones to get saved. You don't want to die before they get saved. You want to know that they've come into the kingdom. And their life's not adding up. It's not too late. Been dealing with emotional issues. Trusting God for healing, but things just keep drawing you back. It's not too late for full deliverance. All of us are believing God for something. But I've come to encourage you to grow not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap a harvest. If you faint not, if you can
write it on something that you can set on this altar. I know some of us are putting things in phones.
Hallelujah.
But it's a prophetic act. We want to leave something here.
Hallelujah.
In the hands of wisdom.
Hallelujah.
Because it's coming to you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus.
When you're done writing, just come, just come, just come. Just come, just come, just come. We expect you to move, God. We expect you to move, God. And we lay it down right now, God, on this altar, Lord. Give us wisdom, God.
Yeah, God.
Give us wisdom, God.